CrowPod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the CrowPod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm not following your line of questioning.
Welcome into Don't Ask Me No Questions. This is a new series here on the CrowPod. Kind of like Secondhand News, except where instead of just me sitting there opining from my position as a recovering journalist, I get to roll out some of the important parts of the job, namely asking people questions about shit that's going on. And who better to start with than CrowPod originalist, the guy who's been filling in for Todd while he's suspended. Peter Ewart is back. Hi, Peter.
Hello, everybody. I'm sure there are so many more people better placed, but it's me today.
we'll find them eventually. I don't know. You know, fuck it. We got to start somewhere here. No, we want to get out. We're coming back later this week, probably Friday, with a full CrowPod. But obviously, with everything going on with the television contract, me and Peter want to hop on here for a little bit. And, well, hopefully, you know, as Dave Cormack said, try to provide context to what the fuck's happened. And I just want to say first, Peter, before we get going, you know, let's see, we're on the 27th of September here on Tuesday. I don't know any of the details of what's going on with the Elite or Sports Direct this month. I know we got that $2 million fine. And also, because yeah. I've been talking to David for 2 hours, pretty much since I got going this morning recording the most recent Watergate episode, I have not listened to their interview with James Bisgrove. So if anything comes up about that, you're going to know.
I've scanned something on the fine from the competitions authority. I think the overall fine is £2 million. I think that largely went to JD Sports. Rangers got about 225,000 and Elite about 400,000. So about 1.4 went to JD. It goes back into season 2018-19, where apparently discussions were had between Rangers and JD to put their prices of shirts up from £55 to £60, so they would be the same as the £60 Elite was charging for a home top. Is the sum total of what I know. Once again, questions to be answered. But yeah, I mean, $225,000 fine apparently happened only over a couple of months. It happened between September and November 18.
So when people are buying shirts, yeah.
So yes, indeed. So a short space of time, but as ever with our board, stories that generate questions rather than answers.
Yeah. Well, like I said, we'll definitely. I'll probably have something on that before Friday, but I'm sure once me and Peter, David get together to talk on Friday, we'll have a little bit more on that. But we are here to talk about television because my God, are we getting fed it this weekend? You know, I did a show yesterday breaking down some of the bullshit that Dave Cormack, of course, the chairman of Aberdeen, had come out with, trying to provide. Again, you know, he said that all discussion around at the time that I recorded still a proposed television deal, although, you know, it was me and you and David had talked about on Friday, they were going to find a way to hammer this thing through no matter what, and they have. But Dave Cormack said that we lacked facts and context around discussions of of the deal. And I don't think that that was true, obviously. I think we had a lot of the facts of it because other club chairmen and ownership groups and whatnot had been pushing and leaking information out via their useful media channels. Of course, Stuart Robinson, to his credit, had come out and said that this is fucking awful. Why are we doing this? From his position there on the innovation and strategy group that was being used as a vehicle to carry this thing across the line. So, Peter, I think you know the one. Well, I guess, you know, the first question here, let's just, you know, if Rangers, let's say Rangers had a player horribly underperforming on the park, not even showing up roughly 10% of the time over the past two seasons, just refusing to show up for training or for matches. And would you want to see the club rush to hand that player a new contract about 2 years ahead of his current one expiring?
It's just really strange, isn't it? Why now, when the deal doesn't run out the 24-25? We've got some long-standing players here, and the centrepiece, as always, is Mr. Doncaster. He's been with the SPFL, or SPL as was, for 13 years now.
Yeah.
Has taken out certainly north of 2 million, I'd say north of 3, getting on for 4 million out of Scottish football. For all the clubs that he seems to be, smaller clubs he seems to be pinning against the wall and saying, you must sign this deal, do they think they're really getting value from that, given just what they've done? It just seems to be lowest common denominator, can't be bothered, easiest thing to do, rather than, is this the best thing for Scottish football?
I think, you know, our old friend Andy McKellar also, old school crow there, but you know, he pointed out yesterday, of course, you know, Doncaster now is on £400,000 a year, yet every single one of these big decisions he outsources to some agency, recruitment, whatever the hell it is. What I mean, to me, in an organization this small, right, and I mean, let's, the SPFL is not a large organization in terms of a corporate structure, that's kind of, I mean, that's what you would want your CEO doing, I would think, is leading these kinds of discussions, leading the, you know, trying to find these answers himself, not immediately turning around to contract out to anyone and everyone. And you know, I think to what you were saying there, I think it was Marcus from Follow Follow who said yesterday, you know, these SPFL clubs, well, I think it's something we've all said, deserve what they get. I mean, these clubs are the SPFL, and they deserve what they get. But I think, you know, what you just said there is critical, because it's not Cowden Beath or Alloa or these clubs down the line. It's these nine to 10 clubs that we're consistently dealing with, depending on who's in the top flight at the time, that continue to drive these kind of short-sighted decisions that horribly undersell the value of the game.
Well, if I take you into the SPFL accounts, and I'm sorry, I had to go there. so this is after season 2021. Let me just check exactly when these are too. So up to 31st of May 21. So it is a COVID year.
Yep.
Principal risks and uncertainties. Number one is COVID. Understandable. Number two, the general economic climate affecting the spending capacity of broadcast and commercial partners, together with trends in the broadcast market. The company and the chief executive in particular maintains strong and regular contact with all broadcast and commercial partners and provides regular reports to the board. So the second biggest risk that they can identify is that it's dealing with a suppressed broadcasting market, and the solution that comes out of that is to go to one and one only and sign a long-term deal that undervalues everything. That's very weird.
I think, you know, me and David were talking a little bit this morning that, well, I mean, the best analogy is kind of a abused spouse sort of situation here, and you know, that, not obviously to make light of that kind of a situation, but I mean, that is, you know, they're talking themselves into having to keep going back to Sky. And I think Robertson said it, you know, again, I gotta give the guy credit when he does something right for all the other stuff that pisses me off. But, you know, everybody, well, Sky's telling us if we try to put this out the bid that they're not going to come back to the table. And Robertson, he's like, no, that's bullshit. Of course they are. They have it now. They obviously find value in it now. Why? They're not going to not come back and bid on this. You know, again, you've got four of the biggest, most visible matches in club football per year guaranteed worldwide. And the idea that we need to rush into this because of volatility in broadcasting markets. I mean, I talked about this yesterday. Every single time people talk about a plateau or even a valley in sports broadcasting fees, rights fees, they just keep going up. They always go up. It is one of the best investments. If there was some way to buy, you know, like on a trade market into sports broadcasting fees only, you'd be making money hand over fist year after year because they keep going up. And instead, we've had this push by Doncaster, by the SPFL. And I think, you know, I think Celtic's lack of comment in public venues says more than anything could. I think part of the problem we always get with stuff like this is, of course, people want to tie it back into, like, you get people on Twitter that can turn anything into child abuse, you know? But in this case, it's a very real situation, and it's not something that's being actively addressed by people in the media, sadly, because what we had Celtic today, their lawyers were saying that this lawsuit by the survivors of, you know, this historic sexual abuse, child sexual abuse, shouldn't proceed because the club can't get a fair hearing. I think it was actually yesterday, the great Dick Nixon account, look at this crossover content, the great Dick Nixon Twitter account to point out Edward Snowden never whined. He come back if he thought he could get a fair trial. This Nixon, you know, said, no one's ever sure of a fair trial. You hope for one and you work for one. And their lawyers obviously know that that's not the case. The concern then for Celtic is going to be coming from their insurers, who are looking at making millions of dollars of payouts over the coming decade, and therefore need some kind of guaranteed money on the books. And that's what this contract is for them. You know, for all the other, for Cormac's fucking bleeding, and again, just complete bullshit. And thank God for Grant Russell, you know, the ex-STV journalist and former Motherwell guy who came out and was like, no, all these fucking numbers are wrong. You're fucking lying again. And this is, I mean, Cormac's thing came out Sunday. You're talking, what, 12, 18 hours before it was announced by Stephen McGowan that they'd already signed this fucking deal? You know, it's just lies. It's all lies.
It's a bit weird as well, because Cormac didn't appear to be much of a fan of Doncaster's negotiating not 3 or 4 months ago. So again, what happened? And Hibs as well. I mean, what was the sort of five divvy clubs got together? Aberdeen, Dundee United, Hibs, and was it Hearts?
Hearts, yep.
And said, oh, we should be getting the entire of Scottish football clubs should be turning, or as in SPFL, should be turning over 50 million by 2029. Well, sign that deal and you can guarantee that's not going to happen. You know, you are now built in that's not going to happen. I mean, I have abusive relationship written down here as well. That's exactly what it is with the smaller clubs. It's like, don't ask any questions, support me, and if you don't support me, you're not going to get your pittance for an allowance. Meanwhile, I'll take out, you know, 400 grand a year. That's one that needs questioned. And we get the sort of, even they've had to give away more than what they have currently to get the deal to increase by 5 million by 6 seasons time. I mean, we appear to have thrown in Scottish women's football for a song.
Yeah.
So that's been lumped in, and we've gone from 48 matches to 60 to get from 25 million quid this season to 30 million quid. And there are steps, but that's broadly 3% a season. Inflation is going to be miles above 3% this year, so you're already on the back foot. It's short-sighted. But then we go back to, is McLennan going to be here in 2029? Is Doncaster going to be here in 2029? He's become a multimillionaire from Scottish football. He's 52. I suspect he could walk away now and be very, very comfortable and very comfortable indeed. It's just no flexibility. If there was a genuine sign that other broadcasters were walking away from Scottish football, you could perhaps make a case. BT are still around, and I think from the unofficial channels are fairly put out that they're not going to get the bid on it. Premier Sports are kicking around the national game. I think is it Nordic Streaming Service Viaplay, yep, which I think Northern Ireland have gone with as well, from 24 to 28. So there were plenty of other options out there, and again, there's nothing really about, and it's early because this has just been announced today, but there does seem to be a kind of embargo over comment. None of the other clubs are coming out and saying, this is a great idea. I'm sure it will come, and we will get the usual suspects parroting whatever they've been told to parrot. So that will be interesting. Picking up why Livingston, who were dragging their feet, at least, or seemingly dragging their feet, why they changed their mind, will be one to watch as well. But yeah, we, and if you're the biggest revenue club in the country, whether or not you're in court for other things, the status quo kind of suits you because nobody else can grow at a sensible rate if you just keep things the same. So I think lack of comment probably comes from a number of angles from them.
Let's look. Sky, right, have rights, can broadcast 48 matches a year right now and haven't for 2 years running. Now, to me, that doesn't grow your product. You're not getting exposure. And Cormack in his comments, because there's elevator clauses that take it to 80 matches per year, which, again, if they're not broadcasting all 48 they have available now, why the hell would they suddenly broadcast 32, possible more? But then Cormack kept saying about, with the pay-per-view deals, that you're talking about 140 out of 228 possible matches. Now, nobody really busts him on this, which happens when you're making your case via a statement on your club's website. But to get to 140, you would have to have every single club somehow coordinate with each other to use all five matches and not run opposition to one another, which I don't think is going to happen, because I would think, the nature of this is that those clubs are going to make most of their money off of us and sell it, and then the games between their clubs and us too. And those are the ones that they sell for pay-per-view. So the idea that, even Cormack's raising that 140 out of 228 is achievable is absolutely ludicrous on its face, setting aside the fact that he said we need to use this period to trial pay-per-view. As Russell, again, Grant Russell pointed out yesterday, we had pay-per-view last year when all the stadiums were open. That was the trial. You don't need seven more years to trial something that's in place across world football in leagues everywhere and works everywhere. Worked in the SPFL last year.
And I think I read somewhere, I can't find it right now, but I think the five home games can't be Saturday 3 o'clock because the blackout is still there.
Yep.
So that kind of narrows it down.
Yeah. I mean, there's no feasible way to get to this 140 number that he kept going. Peter, we're going to take a quick break. We're coming back. More Don't Ask Me No Questions right here.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price,
Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, back for the premiere episode of Don't Ask Me No Questions here on the Crow Pod. As always, if you like everything we do, you scroll down, you hit that Buy Me a Coffee link down there in the show notes, or just visit support.thecopelandroad.org. Give us a hand, even $3, it gets you entered in to win some great stuff from our friends over there at The Famous. There's awesome, I mean, again, all of us have their stuff. We all love their stuff. If you want to win more of their stuff, you can by doing that. And of course, if you want to buy some stuff from them, you just go visit thefamousheadwear.co. UK. Peter, question number two here. Cormac had made a big point in his in his statements and everything else about how the broadcasting matches neuters or otherwise hinders season ticket revenue. It basically keeps people from going to the matches. So, Peter, would you live stream knocking an asteroid off path, given doing so would mean fewer people would show up to watch a future asteroid impact upon the Earth?
I don't think Aberdeen really have much to think about on this one. part of their argument is we need to increase, well, to get more money in the door from this deal, you need to increase and sizably increase the number of TV games. Streamed or otherwise. So if you're doing that anyway, and I'm sure if you could get, if 10 games are really worth 4 million quid a pop, so 20 games potentially getting you from 30 to 38 million, frankly, it doesn't matter who you get in the door, you can kind of pay the plaudits to fans and say that, yes, we need you. But even at this sort of pitiful level, and I think this is why, certainly why Out With The Old Firm clubs are scrambling at it. This is their massive source of income. It's not season ticket sales. It's a TV deal. So this is where it's at for them. The argument that you can get 6 years worth of certainty, albeit suppressed, undervalued certainty, is one they'll take back to their boards. And you're kind of left in the position, are Rangers wrong and 41 other clubs right? I don't think so.
Well, I think, you know, that this is something that, fuck, I mean, you can go back to 2012 and probably find us talking about this at certain points. That, you know, like what Spain acquiesced to and finally accepted was that in order for us to maximize our revenue as a league, we need to let these two clubs go sell it. You know, and Spain did that a number of years ago. Holland does it. The Eredivisie does it. With their big clubs, is that they are the ones essentially at the negotiating table. They go out and get, I mean, they are the vast majority of the bulk of revenue that comes into their leagues. So they let those clubs go handle these negotiations. And then those clubs, with input from the other ones, come out with agreements that here's money for the rest of you, basically. And it's more money than you could ever go out and get on your own. I think, again, you're going, but Russell had highlighted something. Wrexham are kind of going through the same thing right now in the National League because of their, you know, visibility, obviously, with their new owners. Mm. And they're fighting over streaming rights and everything like this. But you had a Nick Meacham, who is a sports pro. It's a US-based or UK-based media company, rather, that deals with business of sport. It sounds like he'd be a good CEO for the Scottish Football League at some point. But he said something. Quote, making matches more accessible digitally creates a wider audience base to attract to the real thing. Streaming will be additive and won't cannibalize the audiences that attend in person. There's simply no data anywhere to back up that fear. Live sports' biggest challenging isn't streaming, it's public transport. He couldn't have been more right. Well, and then, of course, you know, because Cormac kept he wanted to keep going back to the Swedish league in his analysis that was heavily flawed and filled, I mean, again, it was just a tissue of lies. He wasn't at all engaging in good faith basis. He wasn't engaging with the facts. But they went and talked to the Swedish league chief, Mads Enquist here, who said their TV deal that shows all 240 of their league matches live again. He said, quote, "The more we're televising our league, the more people we see coming to the arenas. This year, we're going to have our strongest ever year in the stands." There is literally no empirical data. I highlighted one on Twitter yesterday. I think I talked about it on a show recently, too, that, you know, the Chicago Blackhawks, the NHL team, famously for years under their owner, Bill Wirtz, for over a decade and a half, would not broadcast their home matches for all these same reasons. These dinosaur fights, and we're talking about a policy from 1992, right? So 30 years ago is when Bill Wirtz put this into place and held it for 15 years. The year, the first full season that the Blackhawks took off their local TV blackout because Bill died and his son took over and went, this is a really dumb fucking thing that my dad has done for the past 15 years. They led the NHL in attendance, the highest attendance that the Blackhawks had ever had in the history of the franchise. And it's been surpassed two more times since, while, of course, they're broadcasting all their games, because access to the product is what drives people to consume the product. It's not, this is not a hard concept.
Particularly if you can see it, although I'm sure some people getting to see the inside of Petardi streaming in mid-November may not get them banging down the turnstiles, but we'll see. No, I liked a strong word. McLennan's email that went out to clubs has a brazen couple of lines in it. "I am pleased to be able to advise you that the commercial resolution in respect of the proposal from Sky has now been approved by Cinch Premiership clubs, and that the qualified resolution amending the SPFL rules to accommodate the Sky proposal has also been approved." So there, in one sentence, is we had to nobble the rules in order to get this through. I guess, and Shane, this is where you're more familiar than I, as the broadcaster Sky, I mean, should they not be slightly concerned that the biggest club in the country didn't sign up to the deal, or is it just that's business and we'll take the contract and run?
I mean, I thought for Sky it's the best deal possible, right? I mean, they're having to pay very, very little. I mean, relative. I mean, it's obvious Sky would pay more for this, right? But the fact that the SPFL went through these, you know, through these measures to effectively remove us from the conversation, I mean, it makes it a hell of a lot easier for them because they get what they want. You know, look, Sky would broadcast or be part in a broadcasting package to broadcast all 228 league matches, plus, you know, the playoffs and everything else, I'm sure. But what the SPFL did was basically put themselves in a position like it's 2002 again for no reason other than they remember 2002. You know, this is a completely different media landscape now. And again, I mean, it constantly comes back to, I mean, look, it's sticking at the Rangers, right? I mean, that's the mindset that somehow, I mean, we've seen it for over a decade now that part of the driving impetus for these people is, well, it'll make our fans feel better if we get one over on them, you know? And that's not how you go about running the league. Again, Sky, maybe should they be concerned? I guess. But they get what they want, ultimately. You know,
yeah,
they avoid conflicts in broadcasting with EPL and EFL matches and stuff like that, and they get the four old firm matches.
Yeah, I suppose their sort of UK scheduling becomes that much easier, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And meanwhile, we can get the big bad Rangers. Look at big bad Rangers trying to get us all more money.
Honestly. These fuckers out here trying to make us more valuable. Well, Jesus Christ.
It would be interesting to know, and again, facts as presented by the likes of Cormac, maybe not facts, but actual publicly available information on what the smaller clubs are getting out of the Sky deal versus what they're getting through the turnstiles isn't particularly forthcoming. But no. I still reckon TV money is it for them. Or it should be. It should be, and if it's not, then why the clamor to sign up to this long-term deal?
Well, again, I mean, you know, this is part of stuff we were talking about with Robertson and Bennett last week, you know, the lack of transparency, but this flows through Scottish football. I don't know if Rangers are a symptom of it or the cause of it, or it's a kind of incestuous sort of thing. But for Cormack, you know, again, yesterday saying people are coming out and analyzing this deal without facts and context, and I'm providing none. And in fact, the facts that he provided aren't facts at all. You know, there's no way for people to have an honest discussion about it. You know, like you said, you're not telling, you know, where I've been saying this since 2012. I mean, the dereliction of duty of the directors of a number of these clubs is fucking absurd. And if anybody gave a shit, they'd be removed from their positions. They're not performing with the best interests of their clubs in the companies that they represent. They are purposefully limiting their income. And for what? You know, again, for why? Why is it? And why are those not, you know, for every Stephen McGowan who actually does his job, you got 20 other fuckers like Tam McManus who somehow hold a position in Scottish football media, right? Nobody holds them to fire over this.
The scary bit about that is the majority of people who just parrot the lines that they're fed actually get through, because I've heard from fans of a couple of clubs in the East that we had to sign this guy deal, there was no alternative.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, that's a complete fallacy. Yeah. That's just not true. You know, what about BT? Oh, BT didn't look to pay as much when Sky got the last deal. Well, yeah, because they knew who they were negotiating with and probably tried it on. But if you said, look, let's have a first round of offers, you know, let's do it properly. It's a first round of offers, notes of interest, you know, then you can talk about how many games and details, and then go best and final offer. And from there, I think you would be north of 30 million quid by some considerable distance a year. But we'll never know.
Nope. This part of Don't Ask Me No Questions here on the Crow Pad, but brought to you by Ballymacash Rangers, Mid-Ulster Football League's premier club champions. If you're in Lisburn and want to go watch some football, go get. I'm working on a shirt, by the way. Somebody on Heart and Hand is on the quest to find me a shirt. So we're working on that. Peter, last question here for this first episode. Do you remember the Crow Pad?
Vaguely, it was sort of late at night and went on for about 4 hours. It's a bit like American football in that respect. it just went on and on and on.
I love it because I did that show with Andy and Rob there on Heart and Hand, the Heart and Sand, and you know they're asking me about this stuff and like I couldn't. I mean, I'm kind of the same way. It's all kind of a blur. I mean, as everything around that time was for Rangers supporters. But I don't, you know, Andy was trying to give me shtick, you know, as a lot of people have on Twitter or the forums over the years, because I haven't been. Again, I don't like flying, but that's a wholly separate. I'll get there. Don't fucking worry about people. It's going to happen. I always kind of viewed my role, especially in those early days, like I was a facilitator. It wasn't me coming out telling everybody what to think. I got you and McGowan and Alan Clark and Chris Graham and Ross Hendry and fucking all the Ross McAdam. I came with Alex Oliver, Marcus from Follow Follow, who I think that is his legal surname now.
Yes, TM.
But I mean, the whole purpose was, well, basically what I want to do with this show is get you guys on. And have you talk about it. I mean, you're the people there, and that was all that it ever was. It just, I mean, it grew from there into, as you said, 4 hours late at night. For me, it was, well, Sunday evening and a box of wine, but...
No, that whole, and the Crow was a symptom of it as well. What happened in 2012 was... And the Brecon game was a big game just to be back playing football, but it was actually the East Fife game where I think they opened pay at the gate, but you know, over 40,000 turned up to watch us play East Fife in whatever the hell cup it was.
Tuesday night or something, yeah. Too, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, the Champions League was on, and we had 44,000 people at Ibrox on a Tuesday night.
But it galvanized people, and it also forged relationships and networks that I don't think would be there otherwise. Had all that had gone on with White and Green and Co. not happened. But that's just made us stronger. And, you know, you come back through the journey, you get to 55, and we're all still here, and the club is much, the support network of the club is far stronger than it was even 10 years ago. Yes, we're back talking about the boardroom, but not in a malicious fashion. I think it's just there are many things that could be done better, but that's what everyone wants. We strive for the best, so yeah. why shouldn't we ask for it?
That's it. There we go. Don't ask me no questions. Pretty easy, right? That was good. I think we can do this one again. So, yeah, I the thing with the regular show, Peter. You know, obviously, you've been part of it here on a consistent basis. Again, while Todd is suspended in a beachside villa in Italy, it's horrible the things that we do to the people that act out on here. But you know, obviously, the focus of that show is pretty much wherever the hell three middle-aged men are on it that day just wanted to wander to.
Yeah,
I think you know, having stuff like that. Obviously, again, you know, the secondhand news program. Me and Gary Havlin talking about historical tours and stuff like that. But I would like, you know, to bring a little bit more of this, because I think we were always very good at this on the old pro. In between, you know, Henry's rambling drunk stories or passing out when we bring people on, stuff like that, that we did actually talk about this stuff and try to provide, well, facts and context, as Dave Cormack would say, to what the hell's going on.
Thank goodness I don't have to do the excruciating bit of trying to describe why we get beat 1-0 at Montrose or something. You know,
the opening 20 minutes of every show was just fucked.
It was like,
and then we had to go from there to, hey, by the way, these guys are robbing us in part two. it doesn't get better. Trust us. Oh, man. Thank you, Peter. Peter, of course, you can find on Twitter, everybody, at SeasideRow6. Very nice man. Of course, you can find him, well, wherever Rangers are playing, basically. So, Peter, thanks.
Cool. Thank you, soon.
Absolutely. And Peter will be back with us Friday with David for the full Crow Pod. Hang out for that again. If you like everything, it's the end of the month. If you want to have a chance to win some stuff from the famous for the month of September, all you got to do is scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link, throw us even $3. Your name goes in the hat. You might get some really nice shit. So, that's it. For the first edition here, Don't Ask Me No Questions. We'll talk to y'all soon.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah.
You can't be fucking serious at that.